welcome everyone. This is the Blessing of Christ on the this beautiful, beautiful Sunday, March the 7th. And I am extremely blessed and grateful to be here. I'll tell you more about that later. We are blessed and grateful to have Tony back with us. He has been through quite an ordeal with his adventures and journey through the hospital services. And I'm not exactly sure why all of this happened to us at the same time, but a nice little sermon emerged from it that I want to get to after we are settled in and we have welcomed everyone. And Tony, why don't you say a few words?
Okay, thank you so much. It was really beautiful. Last Sunday, I wasn't able to be on the call, of course. I was in the hospital. And during the call, I was actually undergoing a procedure that helped to address and alleviate some of the worst symptoms that I was having. And I had no idea what it was all related to. Well, anyway, that went amazingly, gracefully. I had almost, it was something that had, you know, there was some risk factors to it, but it went very well. And, after that, I started to feel some improvement. I got stuck being in the hospital for about, 5 days, and that's the longest stay I've had to have since I was a baby. So, it's been a bit tiring. And like Linda says, it's still very, very challenging. There's a lot of, diagnostic work that's going on, and I haven't been as physically, ready and capable to meet some of the things that I have to do. So I'm just taking it, a step at a time. When I heard the blessing call, the recording of the blessing call, I felt so loved and blessed and connected with everybody. I just can't tell you what a beautiful experience that was. So it has been very miraculous. One additional miracle I'll just share really quickly. We had to go and, you know, we're doing all kinds of things that are out of the ordinary because we've got to, you know, I've got to modify a lot of things with what's going on. It has been very, very surprising. Yesterday we wound up going to one of the local pharmacies, one that's devoted to a lot of alternative health solutions. And there was a fellow there. I asked a couple questions, and one of the clerks said, "Oh, you should talk to Derek." And he's a Chinese medicine practitioner. And it turns out that he had all sorts of very extremely valuable input. And he actually had an article about, and he printed it out for me, about something that's basically an extremely valuable therapy from China that can be used with, you know, what I'm dealing with. So anyway, it's very much an evolving situation. I just feel so fortunate and blessed. And I'm looking at what's going on, and I'm realizing more than ever that what this community is really about and what we're here for, the energy that we hold and what we've witnessed and everything that's part of our DNA and our experience is an immense gift for what's going on right now. So I just want to say thank you to everybody and just encourage everybody to continue to stay focused, recognizing the very unique and beautiful energy and potential that we have. I'm sure that we haven't begun to realize what all there is happening with us. So despite our challenges, I know that there's immense gifts that are present and unfolding, and that it's, you know, we're moving through it, and we're doing that together. Thank you, everybody, for the love, for the prayers, and the blessings. I just can't say thank you enough. I love you.
Oh, that's great. Great. We love you too, Tony. It's a journey that we're taking together. And I've had a lot of thoughts about, the concept of a journey. It has brought many, revelations to me. And, it may be the title of our next webinar. I'll have to percolate on that with my upper coach to see what he would say. But I want to reflect on something I know he said. This is a modern version of his words, and that is, I didn't come here for perfect people. He basically said, truly perfect people don't need me, and false perfect people would never listen to me. I came here for people who really are open to the concept of being in a better condition than they are, whose faith and whose hope guides them to receive the blessings I give them and the grace of God, which is why he always affirms the participation of the receiver in the healing, in the blessing. So it's okay that we all have challenges, because these challenges are actually initiations onto a higher level of thinking, loving, being, joining, knowing, and realizing our place in the unity of all that is. You know, you cannot move a kaleidoscope 1 degree without changing the whole configuration of what you see. And that's a beautiful metaphor and visualization for wholeness, that we all are but fractional reflections moving into a perfect pattern, and the whole can be perfect. We are forever moving through that pattern on our personal journey, and sometimes we get fractured on that journey as we move through it, and then we have to move into that wholeness. But you know how we get back to it? It's because those who love us hold us and bring us back into the pattern, hold us and bring us back into the arm enfolding of love. And realizing that is the very essence of soul growth. And people who think that they are perfect or they have to be perfect never get to realize that. They never get to have that change. And actually, if you try to tell them that they need something, they will become extremely defensive. Oh, no, 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 no. I read my Bible every Sunday. I go to church every Sunday. I am diligent in everything I do. I'm a totally moral person. Don't preach to me. Don't tell me I need to improve myself. And, you know, what would Jesus do? He would say, okay, wow, nice having met you. I'm going to go on down the road to somebody who wants me. And, he would be gracious about it and let them discover in their own time and place that they can't do it alone. And neither can, and Tony and I have been in that state of realization. But there's something else I want to bring up that has to do with this. And I have to reveal a little bit more about my story in order to expose that. I think all of you by now know that I lost my beloved Larry about 2 weeks ago, a little more, tiny bit more than 2 weeks ago. And actually exactly 2 weeks the day that I fell. I've been going through a lot of grieving, not necessarily crying because the tears aren't deep enough to express the grief I feel. Larry and I were so joined into our spiritual work and our life that it will probably take decades, if not forever, to find our individual self. And we may not even choose to find our individual self. We may choose to just stay united forever and ever. But obviously, some things have to be sorted out so that I can have a reasonable and meaningful, joyful rest of my life here walking on the earth while he walks on golden pavement. And I do try to be joyful about it. But on Friday, and it's interesting that this happened around Larry's things, I had been sorting through his boxes. We've got a lot of boxes to sort through and keep the precious things and throw out the old paper plates, you might say, you know, the things that have no value at all. And I boxed and packed and boxed and packed and had them sitting around the living room floor. And I just decided to turn the lights out, lay back on the sofa, and find some peace of mind and some peace in all of this. And when I felt a little bit sleepy, I got up off the sofa, and it was dark, and I tripped over one of the boxes. And I didn't just trip. I did a trip and nosedive, where I landed frontally on my left hip and left shoulder. And it was on tile. It didn't have the luxury of it being on carpet. It was on tile. And I let out a scream, feeling that, oh, heavenly God, I've really done it now. Larry, are you wanting me to come to you now? I just lay there. I lay there collecting myself and thinking, okay, can I move anything? I realized, yeah, I can move my arms. Okay. I can move my legs. All right. I don't think anything's broken. I don't think so. But I pushed myself up and the pain was excruciating. And fortunately, one of the people who is living here temporarily to help us through here, heard the noise and came to help lift me up. And I kept saying, I'm okay, I'm okay. Are you sure? Yeah, I'm okay. And I briskly walked off, but boy, was that a sham. I mean, I was walking on air, making myself walk. It was like, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. And I was trying to prance like a pony. But I just barely got to the bathroom in time to sit down and go, oh my God. And I called for help. I wasn't going to be able to move from that place. And I couldn't move from that place, really. So they got me to bed. And I stretched out. I was in so much pain. And they brought in all the different kinds of pain medicines I had on hand, all over the counter stuff, you know, but some of them were pretty strong. And they said, do you want me to call emergency? And I said, no, not yet, because I'm going to need an orthopedic surgeon, and they don't have that there. And they said, well, they can x-ray you. And I said, you know, won't do any good to x-ray if an orthopedic doesn't look at it. I thought, really, I had popped out my left hip replacement. I really thought I did. And I just said, I'll call in the morning. And so I did. Saturday morning, I called their office, and it took all day to get the nurse to call me back. And she said, you're going to our emergency clinic they have a large firm, orthopedic professionals. And she said, you go into our firm, we will do a CAT scan, and we'll do x-rays, and we're going to find out what's going on. And there will be an orthopedist on duty there. So they drove me there, got my x-rays, CT scan, And I said, well, everything came back. You look like a youngster. And I laughed and I said, really? Yeah. She said, you just got a really bad strain and bruise. You're going to be fine. It's just going to have to, we're going to have to give you a brace to wear and get to be on crutches for about at least 2 weeks. And we'll probably give you some physical therapy and you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. And I said, oh my God. Oh my God. I can't, this is a miracle. And it really was a miracle because after I described her what happened, she said, she said, I don't know who watches over you, but it really was a miracle that you didn't at least dislodge your, prosthesis. She said, nothing was affected at all. And of course, then I was saying, thank you God, thank you Yeshua. And then as I lay there, as I gave some pretty strong medicine, you know, prescription level medicine at that time, came home and, I had this thought, you know, we talk about in the physical world, the concept of paying it forward, like charity. You know, we offer help and charity to our friends, our community, and to those in need. And we think, well, we're just paying it forward. When we need it, we'll get it back. Well, I had this glorious realization that I was automatically in this cocoon of protection because I've given it to so many. And there wasn't anything that was going to break through that cocoon of protection. So that's my little presentation to you, because even if you don't have anything particularly challenging or wrong in your life, it's a good thing to come here and get the blessing and include as many other people as you can in it, because you're paying it forward. You're going to be creating a cocoon of protection around yourself. And that's a little bit like what Tony was saying. You're going to be creating a cocoon of protection around yourself. And you're going to actually remind yourself that it's okay if something unexpected challenges your sense of perfection, because at the core, you are perfect. At the core, you are one with God. But you live in a universe that is constantly reinventing itself, is constantly moving from one phase to the other. And in order to do that, it's got to lose a few trees in order to get a few new trees. You know, it's got to take care of itself with all the seasons of decay in order to have rebirth. It's got to do what's necessary to keep nature moving and alive. And we have a contract to be here. If we wanted to stay perfect on the outside as well as the inside, we would do what Yeshua's done. We'd go back to heaven. Or we would never have come here in the first place. We would just say, I think I'll stay with the angels. I like perfection on all levels. And just that way. And you come here, you make a contract, and you agree to confront everything that's here, not just for yourself, but for everyone else. You agree to pray, not just for yourself, but for everyone else. You agree to give of yourself, your love, your help, your hope, and your faith for everyone else, not just yourself. And that's why Yeshua left us with that commandment. Because that's what being on the earth is all about. Yes, stay connected to God inside. And at that place, if you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, just as he said, First commandment, you're going to be perfect at the core. And you can call from that core the heart of faith, the sacredness, the place of God within you. And you're with God. And then you have the power to confront the rest of what's going on. and you pray, you hope, you love, you help, and you call forth everything that's needed for others and for yourself. And I just want to tell you what an amazing community we have created. It was like a web of love. I hit the floor, but I couldn't break through it. There was a web of love and a power around my body that just didn't let me break through it or it break through me. So I had to endure the pain. I had to check it out. I had to go through all the processes, and everybody was so loving and helpful. It was like every place I went was already ready there to receive me, to help me. It's almost like they'd been told I was coming. And it was turned out to be a really beautiful experience. I'm home now on crutches, and I cannot bend over. I can't stand for long, so I will adapt the blessing today for me, just for me, to a kind of chair and hand blessing. It will be my unique prescription, and maybe I'll even do a special adaptation for others in our community that have a similar a limitation from time to time. Maybe they're in a wheelchair. Maybe they're in a bed. Maybe they can't offer the blessing with the same kind of yoga-like flexibility that most of us have offering the blessing. Tony says he's pretty good. He's just going to be a little slower. I think it might be really perfect now. Let's just invite everybody else in. Okay. Tony, you've got the board.
Okay. All right. I see Elizabeth. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Glenda and Tony. I just want to say, Glenda, to you that for me, you remind me of Joan of Arc, the way you have handled the passing of your beloved, and in the last couple of weeks, and then Desmond last week, the call last Saturday and last Sunday. Just so much grace and love and concern and caring. And it made me personally feel, I came out of last weekend and everything that you've been through, and you're still, you know, posting off books and different things. You're still doing little mundane things when you've just lost, you know, Larry. You're amazing. You're just amazing and such a shining light for me, and I'm sure everyone in this community. But I just had to say, I just think you're absolutely fantastic in the way that you conduct yourself and lead us forward. As I said, you remind me of Joan of Arc leading an army, and you're always, no matter what is happening in your life, you're so strong, you have so much courage, and you give us courage, and I feel much stronger and more my godlike self every week after the call. You get me through the week and you make me stronger all the time. And I just had to say, and Tony, with everything he's done, and then he's in the hospital last week. I mean, it's just amazing what's been going on and how you've helped us all by showing us, walking the walk and talking the talk like no one I've seen before. So I just wanted to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. And thank you. Thank you for saying something that's going to help others as well. Because what you've just done is affirm the blessing of Christ in the comment he made. I mean, this is scriptural. I'm not reading out of historic language, but I'm just saying he didn't come here for the perfect people. And look at the ones he recruited. They were uneducated, probably very earthy in their appearance and manners, but loving and courageous. And look what they went through, and they carried it off to the end. And you see, that's the power of love.
Yes.
That's the power of love. Perfection is not the power of love. It isn't. People who think it is have missed the point. They have missed the point. And actually, what I would like to do is, as an artist, I think all, you know, I started out this life as an artist. I told my mom when I was 3 years old I wanted to be an artist. And I went after it, and she supported it with all her heart. And look what I eventually painted. Okay, so that promise was fulfilled. But, you know, so many people equate art with beauty. Well, I think we've got to redefine beauty. And a lot of the artists in the 20th century were trying to do that. But I don't think they were well understood in their attempt. I think they were sometimes criticized for creating what looked like harsh, incoherent pieces of art. But they were creating a new aesthetic that was built on whatever was present. If it was chaos that was present, let's find the aesthetic in it. If it was war that was present, let's find the aesthetic in it. Edvard Munch in his painting called The Scream, I think most people have seen that. It was the most horrific emotion a person could admit, and yet there was an amazing sense of aesthetic in that scream. And what he was doing is he was calling us to find the beauty in everything. Beauty is not just of the physical world. Beauty actually belongs to the spiritual world. And I will never forget the first comment that Larry said to me after he passed. He had been gone about 24 hours, and I woke up in the morning, and the first thing I did was walk in his room. I just wanted to feel his presence, and the hospital bed hadn't been taken away, so I just laid it. I laid where he had laid, and I just said, "Larry, I just want to be where you were and know how you are." And he said, "I'm fine." I mean, the words came through, "I'm fine." And you know, I knew that I was married to a lovely woman, but I had no idea how absolutely gorgeous you were until I went to the high ground. He said, "You are the most gorgeous thing I have ever seen." And it just made me cry. It really said that he would say that to me. And of course he meant it. And I'll never forget those words. And it affirms what I'm trying to say to you, and that is that no matter how much beauty we think we see in the world, there's 10 times the beauty in the spiritual world. For every person that may be a little challenged in a physical way, you're gorgeous in the spiritual way. And let's find a way of putting it together. Instead of just walking away from what's imperfect in this world, let's embrace it and pull down into it that which is perfect and gorgeous from the heavenly world that we're all still in. And that's what we do in the blessing. We unite heaven and earth.
Oh. Thank you, Glenda.
Thank you, too. So, you know, everything that happens to us can be a blessing if we let it be. Because it's part of the journey. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing I want to bring up before we're finished. But, Tony, let's have a few more people on the board, okay? Because I don't want to dominate the conversation.
All right. All right. Eva, I'm going to open your line. Hi.
Hi. Well, this is certainly very inspirational here. And I guess it's the challenges that bring us closer to that beauty that you're talking about. And it just reminded me of how I felt when, after Charlie had his stroke and became what I didn't consider beautiful anymore. And it took me a long time to be able to see beauty. I was one who wanted to run away from people that weren't what we called not right. And it felt like, well, there's something wrong, and I don't want to experience that. Well, it took me a lot of years to get it, and fortunately, finally, I did, and I'm thankful for that and the things that happened. And I can say now that I'm not sorry about any of what happened, even though for a time I thought my life was pretty crummy. But anyway, that wasn't really what I called for. I just learned yesterday that my chiropractor's wife has cancer and is in hospice. And I was very saddened to hear that. I don't know anything about the situation other than that. His name is Dr. Reardon, and I do not know the name of his wife. But he's a great guy, and I certainly wish blessings for him and for her in whatever way they need that to come. So put them on the blessing list.
I've got them on my list. Oh, my goodness. I tell you, I have so much respect for the nurses and the doctors who work in hospice. They are angels on this earth.
Yes, I discovered that with Charlie. It was just amazing. Everyone that took care of him, so loving, so caring. And I just, you know, to myself, it was like, you know, I wouldn't be able to do that. And
they don't see imperfection in anything. And they were the first ones that really initiated me into this quiet place of looking for the beauty, no matter what. And it caused me to cherish every day that I had from that point on. And I'm sure they inspired you in a similar way.
Yeah, with Charlie, as he was progressing after the stroke, and it was like once his sister was there visiting when he was in rehab, and he wasn't able to swallow, and they were trying to get him to swallow just like soft things. He had been on tube feeding. And they were trying to feed him canned peaches. And she was there, and she's watching this, and she said, how much we take for granted, you know, just something like eating something soft like that. And I still remember the first time that after his right hand was totally paralyzed, and he's sitting in the chair, and he was able to move his arm down and pick up something off the floor, and it was like, oh, you know, I just began to really appreciate the little steps that were happening as he was progressing towards more wholeness, which never did come perfectly, which I was praying for and hoping for and expecting, but the journey was definitely a good lesson.
Yeah. Yes, it was. And he's not finished with that journey.
Oh, no. He's happy now.
I'm sure.
Happier than I am, even though I'm much happier than I used to be many years ago. But yes, it's amazing, to realize we're all connected wherever we are, in whatever universe. I mean, well, in whatever realm on this universe we are.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, my dear, thank you so much. And I know I've watched you on your journey and been part of your journey.
Oh, my goodness. If you hadn't been there, Glenda, you and Larry, I don't know where I would be. I was telling a friend of mine the other day, who still has difficulty with thinking in terms of afterlife and things like that, and she loves to listen to what I have to say, but then she still comes up with questions, and she loves to come here and hear it, but then she says, but, you know, what about this and that and the other thing? And it's just amazing, you know, that somebody could – I said, I have difficulty thinking, you know, the way you do, the way she is, but it's good for me to be able to talk to people like that and accept the differences, which I wasn't able to do at one time. But if you hadn't, told her that, you know, if I didn't have this what I have inside and the belief that I have, I said I don't think I'd be alive today, because it things were just too traumatic. And if you don't have that higher power, that true divine love to help you through, I wouldn't survive. And so I'm so thankful for having found Love Without End first, which is actually what Charlie found, and read the book. And even after he had the stroke, he would want me to tell everybody about the book, of even his caretakers, even though he couldn't talk.
That's
he would,
correct.
You know, use the, and he would often look at the picture that you painted, and he would want me to tell people about it. And so,
that's correct.
So even though, you know, he was what we call handicapped, he was still, radiating out to the people that were taking care of him, which really amazed me too.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you so much.
And
yes,
that's
and
beautiful.
Thank Larry too. You know, it's amazing.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Eva. We love you so much, and we always love hearing about your life and your miracles and grace and faith. Tony, who would you like to call on the board now?
Okay, here's Susan. Hi, Susan.
Thanks, Tony. I'm glad that you sound a little stronger than I spoke with you last. And thank you, Glenda, for cluing me in on the rest of what happened with you. So, yeah, I'm glad that that you're doing better, and for hearing the rest of what, you know, the story. And I couldn't help but cry when you spoke about beauty, because in connecting with David and in connecting with others, I had a similar, you know, experience. Of course, as you were speaking, I was crying as well. But, you know, this community is beautiful. I love the work I do. I love the work I do in OA. I love the work I do with you guys. And it just constantly reminds me that any time I want to turn to food, it tells me that there's something off, and there's something off with me not being fed spiritually. Because when I'm fed spiritually, I certainly, you know, don't have any compulsive needs to, or, you know, just, it isn't even so much as a serious compulsion, but there's that feeling of, like when I need to be fed, and it's usually not physical. And it's funny that, you know, that it comes up. But that's, you know, that's my signal. That's what tells me, hey, that's one of the things that tell me I'm off. And I'm grateful for that. So, I'm grateful for all of you guys and for feeding me, spiritually, and for the way that I feed others and pass it forward. And, thanks, and I'm glad to hear that that you did not physically harm yourself, Glenda. And this is good. So,
well, I did harm myself, but not in a way.
But you didn't. You didn't break any. You didn't do. You harmed yourself, but not to the point where you had. You know that you had.
Absolutely.
You know that.
No,
that's right.
I did not break my physical integrity.
So. Yeah. So this is good.
It's very good.
This is good. And we're all together.
Yes.
Much love to you, lady.
Thank you so much. And thank you for calling to check on me. I had a lot of calls and a lot of texts and people going. I think the jungle drums were beating pretty loud, because I heard from people I haven't heard from in years.
Oh, that's
good. And so it was great. It was great. Like a big family reunion.
That's right. That's exactly right. And you need that now, especially, you know, especially with, I knew, because I remember, I said, oh, she doesn't even know what she's in for now that he left. You know, it didn't happen right away, but within a week, oh, my God. So I knew. You know what I mean? You need all of us around you now, lady, and we're here.
Yeah.
So, we love you.
Thank you. I know you do. Thank you so much.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Tony?
Okay. We got Jean Marie next. Hey, Jean Marie.
Hey. What a nice call today. Glenda, I'm really happy to hear of your ongoing wellness. and Tony as well. And I love the way people are just being so vulnerable in their sharing and honesty and being real about, you know, feeling this or that or the other. That's a good thing. Anyway, I've been thinking a lot about my friends, dear friend Sally in Fairfield, Iowa, and I just want to put her in the blessing call today. And also for my friend Judith out west, with an issue she may or may not be having with her vehicle tomorrow. And also for myself, I'll take one of those left hip miracles, please, and thank you. I've been dealing with hip awareness for a while now, and it's just not fun, and I would like to either know what, you know, the underlying meaning is, if it's, you know, hesitancy about moving forward or whatever is associated with it. If I need to know, let it be known. And if not, just let it be lifted and moved out without incident or drama around it. So yeah. That's my call for today, my request for blessings.
Okay. Well, Jean Marie, you're certainly on my list.
Yeah, so thank you so much, and to everyone.
Okay, so we've got a caller from area code 512. Hello.
Hi, it's Nancy. I'm on my cell phone. I'm driving, but wow. What a big message, y'all, and just what came through you, Glenda and Tony. I mean, much love to both of you for everything that you're going through, but I hope we all go back and listen, because what you shared was really big and something that we really need to bring into our hearts at the deepest level. And thank you for what you're saying and messages coming through. And, you know, all I could keep thinking about is the blessing. And the first one is he lifted our burdens and then he set our spirits free. And you guys are doing that. We're doing it for each other. And, you know, being the collective oneness, you know, nobody's above sin. We're all taking some aspect of it on, and you guys are doing it with, as everyone's saying, Elizabeth, Eva, Taylor, we're just all, you know, clamoring to let you know that thank you for showing us that, you know, we can do that in the big and the small, because sometimes it's just little dumb things that, you know, muck us up, mm-hmm. And, you know, it doesn't have to be the huge thing that just are like major attention getters, but, you know, to stay in that heart center. Thank you. So I guess my request for the blessing is that we really, you know, get the message and hold it in the highest way that we can, so that we can remember who we are and be it to the fullest. And you know, special blessings to you, Glenda, and to you, Tony, for the physical challenges, which, you know, sometimes they're just not so easy to, you know, flip the switch and make perfect. So thank you. So I love you, and I just want you to know that. And I just had to say something, so thank you.
Thanks so much, Nancy. And Gary, I bet Gary's somewhere in the background.
No, I'm actually driving, helping Jana. Oh, she's okay. Moving, so I'm in the car. I don't usually use a cell, but yeah, he's definitely here. He's always here. So
yeah,
and I love what you said. I love what you said, Glenda, about what Larry said to you, because, you know, Gary says those things to me that, and they're never like, what are you talking about? I look terrible right now. You know, and he's just so sweet and loving and says those things to lift you up and make you feel that you are, you know, you're the cat's meow. And I'm so glad you heard that from him, because, you know, we need to hear that from our beloveds, and that's just wonderful.
Yeah, it was great. Okay, my dear, we love you so much.
We love you. I'll see you soon.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Love you too.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. We've got Nancy Lopez. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Tony. And hi, Glenda, and love to everybody. I know it's getting late on the call, so I just want to ask for a blessing for a friend of mine. Her name is Donna, and she was a professor of music. She has a beautiful voice, and she just has so many accomplishments in her life. But she has struggled with health problems, and recently she finally got a diagnosis. And it turns out she has cancer that has metastasized, and she has begun chemotherapy. She'll be coming home from the hospital this coming week. So I just ask for blessings for her wholeness and her courage, and for her to open her heart and receive all of the loving blessings and prayers for her wellness that everybody is giving to her.
Oh, absolutely. And she is here. She's here on my list, and I can just visualize her. I really can.
Yes. Yes. She's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, too, Nancy. I see you, too. And you are wonderful. A wonderful, wonderful person.
Thank you, Glenda. Well, you know, we all are wonderful inside. We just need to be aware that we need to be wonderful on the outside, too.
Well, you know, diamonds were once a chunk of coal.
Exactly right.
So, and you know what made them become beautiful was
pressure.
A lot of hard pressure.
That's true.
So, I think a lot of our experience in the journey on Earth is a chunk of coal becoming a diamond.
I think so too.
And I think there are a lot of diamonds being made right now. Okay, I'm actually on the board now. Finally, I got on. I made it to my desk. And I see we've got four more people. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jerome, I can't wait to talk to you. I've got to hear your smiling voice.
Blessings, Glenda, with everything of your life and of everything you've done and your connection with the spirit of the universe. And last fall, I wanted to leave this earth too, and I went out into the universe and I asked what to do, and they said I left the earth, I went out into the universe, I found 8 stars, and in the middle of the 8 stars I went in there, and words can't come close to everything I felt. It was a connection with the spirit of the universe and God and Holy Spirit, and words can't even come close to it. So we even get to go further along, and we even get to go further along than we understand about here on Earth. And so we get to connect with God and spirit of the universe when we go to the other side, too. So, but blessings on everything you are, your love and light, and everything you're giving to all of us and giving to yourself and your spirit, because you are a great spirit of the universe, too. And I just love you, and I thank you, and for everybody on the call to know that there's even something beyond what's on Earth for us, too. It's the spirit of God and spirit of the universe. And when I went in there, words can't even come close to anything I felt. So,
wow.
So you are priceless, and I love you, and I thank you, and please keep up your work, as a retired pediatrician, you are doing well for our health, for our country, for our universe, too. And I just send you that love and light of God and Holy Spirit as well. Thank you.
Oh, we love you, Jerome.
Okay. Love you, too.
Okay. Tony, you take back over the board, please.
Sure.
Yeah.
Here is,
I'm trying to get comfortable.
Sure. Amanda Louise, hi.
Hi. Good day, Tony and Glenda. Glenda, I have a question.
Okay.
About I have a CD, and I just this week played it, and it's your late husband's Psychogenesis
CD. Oh, uh-huh.
I was wondering, did he do any more work in Psychogenesis after he left Sedona?
Well, he has one DVD called Activation of the Holy Spirit, and it's him in a meditation form. And if you want to call me sometime, I'll be glad to sort of explain that to you. If there's not much verbal on it, it's mostly the meditation, but he believed that he was conveying the energy of the Holy Spirit, and that it was actually being recorded as he did it. And other than that, his work after leaving Sedona was more live with people in seminars.
Ah, okay. Well, I want to ask for a blessing for both of my children. They are mentally ill.
Oh.
And just need to, in whatever way, be directed to their own hearts to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, their names are John and Christina.
Okay. I've got them on my list, John and Christina.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And blessings to you, too.
Thank you.
Okay, we've got Sarah. Hi there, Sarah. You might have to unmute your line, Sarah. Hello? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't believe it. Sorry. Hi, Sarah.
Oh, thank you. Aloha, beloved Glenda and Tony and this beloved community. Thank you so much. Just wanted to ask for a blessing. Sometimes have like parts of me that feel, just depressed and guilty and working through some stuff. And I just had this sense today to just offer those parts love. Say, I'm with you. I'm right here with you. And that just felt so right. So I just wanted to ask for just an amplification of that and offer that to anyone else that I just said to that part, I'll just be right here with you. And it just felt so good. And so a blessing for that and a blessing for my friend David in San Diego and for any who have challenges with homelessness. For all who have those challenges, blessing for them. Thank you.
That's such a sweet request, Sarah. Thank you very much for that. And
yeah,
I have them. You know, I always have the homeless on my list because I have a heart for them.
Yeah.
They're always there on my list. But not by name because I don't know their name. But
yeah,
I know that we need all the prayers we can give them.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So we have two callers yet still. Wendy Park. Hi, Wendy.
Hi. Am I unmuted?
Yes.
Oh, good. Hi, guys. Hi, Glenda. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi. I hope this isn't... Maybe this is a question for another day, and if it is, you just let me know. I just have run across this in my lifetime and wonder how, if you can make some sense of it or help me to walk through it more, with more love and grace. And that is that I've always, as long as I can remember, have loved Christ. Just just knew him and have never met a religion that, or a church that fit right. And in reading the Bible, there's things that resonate with me and there's things that don't. And I've always trusted that internal feeling. And then I was introduced to Love Without End, and at the time, your tapes, and just listened to them till they wore out, because I could feel the realness of your experience, Glenda, and of the pureness that resonated with me of your experience of Yeshua. And I'm so grateful for them. I'm just wondering, I'm working on a project now, and it does involve Yeshua, and maybe I could talk to you at some point about it. At the moment, I'm working with a young man who is a very devout Christian. And the issue that arises whenever I'm working with or talking with or have friends that are very devout Christians, and I respect whatever path any serves anybody, at a certain point, they have a really hard time with that I am not on their path. That mine is just sort of loose, I guess. And that that for them, every word of the Bible is the word of God, and for me, it's not. Inside is my place that I judge everything from, it always becomes rather forceful and feels rather like, I don't know what, like, why is it important that I have the same beliefs if we just both love him? And that's generally not good enough, and it creates a bit of a rift for them, not for me. But it makes me sad, and sometimes even for days, I'll not even open to feeling Yeshua inside, because I think, well, they love him so much and are so devoted, I'll let them have him. Some strange thinking. And then I miss him, and then I draw him back in my heart. But I'm just wondering if you can make some sense of this for me so that I can walk more gracefully through these conversations and relationships, so that they can feel respected and somehow not feel threatened by or angry with me or worried that I'm on some errant path. Do you have any thoughts on that? And maybe it is for another day in a longer conversation.
Glenda, we might have lost you. I'm not seeing you on the board right now.
Oh, hi. Okay, here I am. Yes, Wendy. I think it's a great subject and one we should take up, because it's something almost everyone who's read and tried to share Love Without End will have run into, and I certainly have. For all of these years since I first painted the painting, I've run into it. A lot of people who are, shall we say, fundamentalists have tolerance. They have that tolerance. They are tolerant of others, but they feel that their journey is through the exact word of the Bible. And that's one of the reasons I want to take up the subject of journey. And we don't have time today. We have to get into the blessing. I think I'm going to make that a really big topic in the future, is about choosing your journey and allowing other people to have theirs. There's someone who works for me who's extremely fundamentalist, and we don't have arguments about it, but it has a really big factor on his attitude about being around me and things he says and won't say, you know, about his willingness to be here in unconditionally and serve. And I won't bring it up because I don't want to imply that I have a judgment. Bottom line, I want to say, is nobody owns Jesus. In fact, the very name of Jesus was an attempt to own the life of Yeshua. That name was created, invented in the 12th century when the English Bible was
created. That was right after the printing press was created. And they wanted to create a name that was unique to the Protestant movement and unique to the English language. And it was because they wanted to own him. And there have been so many attempts to own him. One church will attempt to own him, and then if you're not a member of that church, well, you're excluded from his presence. I'm sorry. We own him. It's yeah. like fighting over the gold in Solomon's mine. Nobody owns him, my dear. Nobody.
Yeah.
And don't let them get you down on that. Just realize something. I'm going to say in brevity right now that I will say in length in another call. And that is that when people, well, there are many levels of walking on the journey in life. And many people are down at the survival level, where everything is about survival. Not just money, but friends. Where will I sleep tonight? What will I eat? And so forth. And frequently the people who are at the survival level will cling to religion as one of their survival hopes. When religion has been equated to their survival, not just temporal survival, but eternal survival, they're not going to budge on it because it's their survival. And it's their survival of their family. It's their survival of their soul. It's their survival of everything. When something has been equated to their survival, they will not budge. Okay. And Yeshua actually talked about this in regard to the Pharisees, in regard to the Levites, who held the legal dominance within the Jewish community and were ultimately the ones who decided he had to be crucified because he was a danger to our religion. So people will cling to their religious. This is one of the reasons we have religious wars. There should be, you know, if you really think about it, if religion is centered in God, why should there ever be a religious war? I mean, it's insanity. That is insanity. Okay. When people have equated their religion to their survival, that's what causes religious wars. The wars, the crusades and the wars that are going on in so many countries now between Islam and Christians, people being beheaded, people being shot. We had a blessing giver who set up a lovely little blessing chapel in Constantinople, and a drive-by shooting specifically intended to mow down that that little temple killed her. So it's come very close to home to our blessing givers. And she was a very, very powerful, loving person.
Wow.
So what you're running into is very real. It's very real, and you're not to fight it. Don't fight it. You can't. Because the only reason people behave this way is they have equated that belief with their survival. And they think they're fighting for their life. So you just have to walk on down the road.
What the funny thing is, I always support them in their path. It's just that somehow my path threatens their path in their mind, and I don't understand.
Well, it's not. Well, when people have equated their survival to their path, they're not going to take in anybody else. They're not going to even give credence to another path. It doesn't exist. You're on the wrong path from their viewpoint. So they don't want to validate something they think is wrong.
Yeah.
You've been judged. I've been judged by many, and I know what it feels like. And they're not going to budge. So be kind to them as much as you can, but I would say don't invest in them. Invest in those who will receive your love.
Okay. Thank you, Glenda.
And that was actually another message that Yeshua taught. He said, you know, if a grapevine doesn't produce fruit, cut it off. Don't feed it. Don't nurture it. It's not producing for you. There are plenty of people to love. There are plenty of people to help. And if somebody doesn't want your help, don't fight it. It's okay. They will hopefully accept help from somebody else. And there will definitely be people who want to accept your help.
Okay. Thank you, Glenda.
I'm sorry that wasn't an answer to how can I get them to accept me and help me, but they're not going to. And you can't make them. You can't make somebody love you. It's a hard lesson to learn, but you can't make somebody love you. It's got to come from their heart.
Thank you.
Our last caller on the line is our dear friend Stormy.
Stormy, hi.
First off, a blessing for Phil Walthall. I just talked with him 3 minutes before the call. He had a good conversation with you from me. He's been trying to reach you for a while, and, you know, such a dear friend he is to both of us. And offer a special blessing for him, Glenda.
Okay, good.
And though I cannot stand up, and because of my own physical situation, I can't stand up too well without falling over half the time. But if I can't stand up, I'll sit down, but my spirit stands strong.
That's good.
My spirit will stand up for me if my body needs to rest for a while.
Well, that's what I'm having to do right now, Stormy, so we're in the same boat.
Yeah, and soon we'll get out of that boat and get on land again.
We will.
Okay.
Thank you, Stormy. You're always a blessing to hear from.
I wanted to just add a blessing. Thank you, Glenda, especially for what you helped me with what I've been going through. Just a few minutes being able to talk with you, just a huge help. And I want to thank my family, and a blessing for my family who have rallied around. They're always loving. They're always looking out for everybody that they can care and connect with. But Judy especially, and James, and Judy's parents are doing an immense amount right now just to try to be as loving and as supportive as they can. So to my family and to my extended family and all of you, thank you and a big blessing.
That's great. Me too. And I want to extend my thanks to all of you and to all of my friends who called and prayed and just wanted me to know that they're there for me. You know, I could call any time. So it means a lot. Well, Tony, I think I'll let you just open up the blessing since you're going to be the active conductor today.
Okay. That's good. All right. Well, everybody, just want you to get yourself into the place where you're physically ready to receive, where you are in a place of being relaxed and open, receptive to what Yeshua's blessing and God's love is ready to bring through in your life. And so start with taking a nice deep breath. And you want to have be in a very physically relaxed state. Try to have no barrier between you and the spirit. Try to have natural fiber on your feet.
so that the energy goes from heaven to earth, and perhaps if it's appropriate for you, have your head uncovered so that you can have that energy conducting effortlessly through your being, through your presence. And just be in a place where you recognize through your breath that your breath connects your life. And in your life, there is nothing but connectedness inside and out. And you have that with all of us. You have that with all the children of God. You have that with Yeshua. You have that with the Holy Spirit. You have that with God the Father. So just simply be in the most available and ready state that you can be. And now, blessings, please get ready. Dear Yeshua, your love, your presence is something that is so infinite and beautiful. Your blessings bring such a gift, such an opening and an expansion and wholeness to everything that we are. Everything we are as individuals and everything that we are as a community, as a world, as a brotherhood and sisterhood. Thank you for giving us the gift of the awareness of your life, the gift of your presence and consciousness. Help us to be completely ready to behold, to receive your blessing. And now let us begin the connection. Amen. Your blessing has been transmitted. All that remains now is for you to be still. Let go. And receive everything that God, our beloved brother Yeshua, and the Holy Spirit are bringing to you and through you. We thank you for being here. We look forward to being with you again next week. God bless you. And may you have just a beautiful week. Take care.
Amen. And God bless everyone. Thank you for being here. I wish you also a very happy and holy week. Bye-bye from me.